Welcome to Design Downtime, the podcast where we celebrate the joys of living a balanced creative life. I'm your host, Guy Siegel, a design director in Toronto, Canada, and I invite you to join me on this journey as we redefine what it means to be a successful design professional. Let's break free from the shackles of hustle culture and embrace the full spectrum of human experience, because life is too precious to be spent only in pursuit of productivity. Today, I'm thrilled to talk to Lauren Lepret. Lauren is a design systems specialist who spent the last 8 years leading teams at Expedia, Dropbox, and Block. She studied at the School of the Art Institute of Chicago and comes from a multidisciplinary background in exhibition design and book design before finding her way to design systems. She's known for being honest about the emotional toll of this work, including giving talks about burnout and why design systems act like a mirror to the organizations they serve. She lives on the West Coast with her small family, Gus, a 15-year-old mutt, and her husband, an artist. When she's not thinking about design tokens or stewardship models, she's probably trying to convince someone that design systems are about people, not just components. Lauren, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Super excited to have you, because the topic you want to talk about is Snoopy.
Yeah, I guess it's not like your usual hobby or activity that someone might do in their downtime.
Why not? If you're into Snoopy, you're into Snoopy.
I have a couple questions for you because I kind of have a story to tell you.
Okay.
Well, first of all, last month was Snoopy's 75th birthday, so.
Happy birthday.
This timeline that we're talking about, that cooled off. Have you ever worked in higher ed?
I have not.
It's really boring. That's for sure. As you can imagine, it's like slow pace, lots of bureaucracy, lots of stakeholders.
Very different from enterprise.
Yeah, well, enterprise is the type of place where they have a lot of bureaucracy and a lot of stakeholders, but they're like move fast and break things at the same time. You know, we see that conflict all the time. Do you listen to the band The Smiths?
I know quite a bit. I can't say I'm a fan of the lead singer.
Yeah.
These days, they're okay. I have bands I prefer.
Fair. Do you know the website tumblr.com?
I do. I'm old.
Cool. Same. In 2013, I was named like Tumblr of the Year.
I did not know that.
I had about 80,000 followers.
Ooh. In your Tumblr, I'm assuming was somewhat Snoopy related?
So I was working in the marketing department at California College of the Arts, and I was on this project where I had to build the like new student portal. And, you know, we were like a tech team in a marketing department, so that already has its like weirdness. There were probably like 50 stakeholders, and we had to kind of vet this project, and everyone kept asking for like personas and things, and it was just very slow moving. And so I would kind of sit at my desk, like noodling. I did some like marketing assets and things like that in my work too. And I like was listening to The Smiths one day. And I was like, you know what? These lyrics kind of sound like Charlie Brown. And so I was like, what if I just tried like one? So I pulled like a cell off of Google Images. I went on defont.com, found like the Peanuts comic font. And I wrote, last night I dreamt that somebody loved me in a little cell of Charlie Brown kind of like sitting up in bed with the moon in the window. And I made a website called thischarmingcharlie.tumblr.com. And I just posted it and I thought it was kind of funny. And then I was like, how far can I take this?
So how far did you take it?
I just kind of like would make like one a day. I would just pull... I had like a pretty strict visual style where I would pull like only black and white cells. I limited them to kind of like 1 to 5 frames, 1 to 4 frames, maybe. Always use that typeface, you know, very considered because I wanted it to look real. And I would just kind of post slowly. One morning I woke up and like NPR Music had posted about it. And then Vice posted about it. Rolling Stone posted about it. It's Nice That posted about it. And somehow I ended up like Time Magazine Tumblr of the Year. So that was interesting.
How is that not on your LinkedIn bio?
You know, for a long time, I was kind of like really aligned with the persona that I was like a Tumblr girl. And then like maybe I got to my mid-30s and I was like, you know what? Like, I don't know. This was this is over 10 years ago. And, you know, this was back in like the Tumblr era. I think I've like ridden that wave where it's no longer in my LinkedIn bio, but it is usually one of my two truths and a lie when I'm like presenting my work in a portfolio review or something.
Let's go back. Let's paint the whole picture. The question I usually start with, the origin story, where does Snoopy and Peanuts, where do they come into the picture for you?
You know, I don't know. I think I was born into like a world where Peanuts was just in the zeitgeist. Like the holiday specials, the comics in the newspaper, they were just like always part of my world. But I wouldn't say that I was like a Snoopy or a Peanuts fan before 2013. Like it wasn't like an active part of my personality until this like moment of discovery.
Why Snoopy and why Charlie Brown?
So I consider myself like a Snoopy Sun, Lucy Moon, Peppermint Patty Rising. I actually really dislike Charlie Brown. I think he's kind of a jerk. I think he's like a bad dog owner, as a dog owner myself. And I just think that like Snoopy's personality in the series is just kind of like an aspirational character for me to look up to. Like he has his different personas. He has like a strong imagination. He's kind of just like Joe Cool in particular, I think is really who I wish to be. And I just find him to be such an iconic drawing. I think that all of the evolution of his look is like very inspiring. The way Charles Schulz kind of just like gave this dog so much personality back in like 1950 really aligns with like my values of like being passionate towards creatures and things like that.
Peanuts, was that something that was, you said it was, you were born into it. Was it something that was part of your life at home, at school, your interest in some way?
I mean, not like in a strong way. I mean, no more than say like the Sanrio characters would pop up. You know, I probably had like a Snoopy notebook or a Snoopy pencil sharpener when I was a child. But like now I look around my room where I'm recording this and I can see like 7 Snoopies around me. Like I've had deep thoughts about redesigning one of our bathrooms in our house to be like fully like Snoopy themed. I like have gone around the world collecting Snoopies. But like the origin story that I told you about with the Tumblr, like that was actually just the first half of the story.
Continue.
Okay, so you know, this was like mashup culture. So like Girl Talk was kind of the music that was doing this. And this was kind of like a mashup on the internet, which took like Peanuts copyright and Warner Music copyright and made them its own thing. I started getting takedown notices issued. Like over time, like the Tumblr started to disappear. What it was Warner Music actually like filed complaints with Tumblr. And so I posted about that to my like 80,000 fans at that time. And this guy who taught at Harvard, who was a lawyer, like offered to write a letter pro bono claiming fair use to Warner Music. Morrissey, like, okay, yes, I agree with you on Morrissey for sure. But he went on his blog, True to You, and said that he disagreed with Warner Music and was in support of this charmingcharlie.tumblr.com. And Peanuts actively supported it, too. Actually, the Peanuts organization loves reappropriation, artists kind of like pulling in Snoopy. Like, they love that it continues in Charles Schulz's honor. And to that extent, in 2018, I was invited by the Schulz Foundation to participate in a museum show in London on Snoopy fan art. So I was with like, I don't know, 30 other artists in Somerset House, like a beautiful museum space in central London. I met Jean Schulz, his wife or his widow. And yeah, I was among these like real artists. And I kind of felt like a fraud in that moment, but it was really cool to just kind of like be around other fans of Snoopy. One artist in particular that I love to talk about is, his name's Ken Kagami, and he made this book called Freaky Dog, Freaky Boy. And it's published on the Artist Press New Documents out of LA. And it is a series of just the most unhinged permanent marker type drawings of like Charlie Brown and Snoopy kind of like recreated into like these bizarro single form characters. So like one I recently saw was like Snoopy holding a bag, like it would look like a goldfish is in it, but it's like Charlie Brown's face. Like, or some like weird BDSM situation where like Snoopy is like holding like a chain with like a collar on like Charlie Brown, who's, you know, just like, I feel very close to Ken Kagami in my like relationship with Snoopy and the other characters, like as an adult reinterpreting this like beautiful comic from, you know, the last 100 years in the US or whatever, you know, international.
So from your perspective, your connection or relationship with Peanuts and with Snoopy and Charlie Brown, it goes beyond the sort of the canon of what Charles Schulz put in, right?
I mean, I think that like, I probably look at Snoopy the way like an old Italian grandma looks at like Jesus, like Mary Magdalene. Like, I don't know, like the amount of tributes I have to him throughout my house. I have like multiple Peanuts tattoos. I have two Snoopies on my body.
What about the other supporting characters?
You know, they just don't stick as hard. I don't know if it's like they're humans and Snoopy's a dog. Like, I definitely feel very emotionally similar to Lucy. That's why I like to say that, like, I have a Lucy moon. Because it's kind of that, like, I don't know if you are like a big zodiac horoscope astrology person, but like the moon is kind of like your inner voice, like you're kind of challenged with. If your sun is kind of like how you see everything, like your true center, like your moon is kind of like that inner voice. And then your rising is kind of how you present to the world. And so like Lucy moon is really like, okay, maybe I am just like a bitch at heart. Like there's like some deep bitch in there that I'm always kind of competing with. And then like Peppermint Patty rising, like I think I'm actually an Aquarius rising. And I think Peppermint Patty just has this like chill, relaxed vibe to her that I think that people assume is my vibe, but it's just kind of how I present it sometimes.
You said you have a lot of Snoopy memorabilia or objects around the house. What are some of the weird ones that you have?
Yeah, I have a lot to say here. I would say that I have you heard of Obvious Plant?
No.
He's another, I guess you would call it an artist. Maybe, I don't know even how you describe this. He makes like replica toys or like something packaged that looks like a child toy. He'll do, I don't know, like a Playmobil set, but it's like an abortion clinic or something like that. And I have one from him and it's called Snappy. And it just says, quit your job. And it's like a little Snappy character. And like weirdly, the eyes are like on one side of the head. Like it's just like a little bit deranged in its drawing. And then it has like a clipboard with like an I quit note. And like I cherish that item. I also I've collected Snoopies around the world. Like I kind of have this like beautifully crafted Danish wood Snoopy that's kind of minimalist in style. I have this perfect porcelain teacup from Tokyo that has all of the Peanuts characters on it with their names in Japanese. And I have from Mexico City the skeleton style doll. So I would say like rare Snoopy finds. In particular, what I'm like in, I'm a big collector of all sorts of things, but Snoopy is like one of my big collections. I'm interested in kind of like outsider art or like folk art. And so like a folk Snoopy, not an actual Peanuts assigned Snoopy, but like someone handmade this in to resemble Snoopy is really interesting to me. You know those like paint your own pottery studio spaces? Yeah, like someone had kind of a dog penny bank and painted it like a Snoopy. And so I have that, which I cherish absolutely. So yeah, those are kind of like my most coveted items in my collection. I have a lot of books. Like I mentioned, the Ken Kagami book. For some reason, I have two copies of that. A lot of like Japanese Peanuts books that I found, vintage books.
I didn't really grow up with Peanuts. For some reason, I had a piggy bank that was in the shape of, you know, Snoopy sleeping on his, like the iconic image of him sleeping on his like doghouse. No idea how I got that. But other than that, haven't really been exposed too much to that world.
And I find it interesting that like you just happened to have this piggy bank. You don't really know where it came from. But like that's kind of how Peanuts was for me as a kid too. Like maybe when I was buying like school supplies, he was like one of the options next to Hello Kitty. But now it's kind of like a true like curating practice of mine to find these like rare Snoopy items.
That's an interesting point to me, because you would expect to go to a store and see Snoopy on a notebook. You get a backpack for school, and of course there would be a Snoopy backpack or a Peanuts backpack. When did you start going in a bit deeper into reading the strips or watching the movies and understanding what the context actually is?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I think that growing up, I definitely would like experience the classic movies and see the strips, you know, like sitting at the breakfast table at my grandparents' house and kind of getting the comic section. And I always had this sense that like these children were having very adult conversations, like the psychiatric help booth. And like, so as a kid, it never really was funny to me, but I was just kind of like drawn to these kids and these experiences. And so like through my teens and 20s, it was always in the background as kind of this like commentary as a comic. And I think that like as an adult, I recognize that there are like many varieties of using comics as commentary that we experience, like, you know, in the New Yorker or anything like that. But for Peanuts, it's so interesting because it's like also a kid's show. Like kids are very exposed to it, but it is very universal. Like anyone can look at a strip and really like get something out of it. And I don't think that I really like analyzed the strips as, you know, like a historian until maybe the Tumblr days started, when I was really kind of like evaluating them and like the sentiment shared and trying to map those to lyrics that I found. Now I have a couple of like the original cells framed in my house, and like my husband and I make a lot of jokes about, you know, some of the comments that Charlie Brown will make to his dog and how we feel about taking care of our dog. And so I really identify with kind of the words shared across the characters.
Did you ever get the urge to own a beagle as a result?
Yes. And people have asked me, why have you named your dog Snoopy? I've only had two dogs in my life. Both of them were kind of like accidental rescues. Like I was like, we should go look at dogs. And then we come home with a dog type of situation. I have maybe some impulse control issues. Gus. And both Gus and Harry has passed, but Gus is with us today in the room, came with their names. They're both adult dogs. They're both mutts. And luckily, Gus is about 20% beagle. So he definitely has a beagle body to him. When I see a beagle, I just kind of like get excited because of the idea that that is what Snoopy is. I don't know. When I like look at Snoopy, I don't necessarily see beagle. But I like that he is representative of that breed.
What does Snoopy represent for you personally?
I think Snoopy is a reminder to me to like loosen my grip and kind of just like lighten the things that I might find stressful in my day. And also, I think that he really represents creativity and imagination. He has a flying ace character. He has like this jokeful character. Like he's able to kind of build these worlds around himself. One time I was talking to my psychologist about how jokeful is like the mask that Snoopy puts on when he, you know, might not be feeling so confident. And I feel very connected to that idea that like sometimes you just have to put on your Joe Cool mask to participate.
So since the Tumblr days, how are you maintaining that connection with Snoopy?
Well, in August, I got a really wild Snoopy tattoo. It's the third Peanuts tattoo I have. It's, you know, like the classic tattoo parlor flash of cherries on like a stem that connects. I have that, and the cherries are Snoopy heads. Well, one is Joe Cool and one is Snoopy. And like, I think that like all my friends and relatives kind of know that I'm passionate about Snoopy. I'm kind of actively talking about this idea that I describe as Snoopy. So like Snoopy with a B instead of a P. And what that represents to me is like Snoopy bootlegs. So like I'm kind of past the idea of like a Snoopy I can buy on the shelf at a store. And I'm more into that kind of like folk outsider. You're clearly representing Snoopy, but it's in your own way. And so I'm like very, very early on in creating an Instagram that's called Snoopy Bootlegs. And there I'm not only just like collecting photographs of Snoopies that I see around my own environment, but also highlighting artists that make incredible Snoopies, in my opinion.
We were talking yesterday and you said about someone, oh, they're just a simple, you know, they're a basic fan of Snoopy.
Yeah.
Tell me about how you kind of like, how does the fandom of Snoopy or connection to Snoopy sort of manifest for you in different people?
Yeah, I mean, like, I think that the way you like Snoopy is like maybe a representation of like your own personality or like the depth of your personality. And like many people like Snoopy, but like there are people that actively talk about liking Snoopy. And when I say someone's like a basic Snoopy fan, I mean like they probably buy a Valentine's card at Walgreens that has like got a Snoopy I love you on it. And it's like, that's like, oh, like we love Snoopy. He's like a cute dog. But like the real people that I align with are kind of the people that are like tattoo artists that draw like series of Snoopies across as many people as they can find, or like Ken Kagami or other artists that like make stained glass with Snoopy on it. Like I find those people that kind of go deep into just like the graphical image of him and representation in like mixed mediums and in different ways. I find like those people to be like the real chillers that I maybe get along with better.
Does it matter to you what their intent is in creating that art, or is that the impact it has on you is more important in that sense?
I think it's the impact that it has on me. Like, I understand that many of the people that I see making Snoopy work, it's like they are making a craft to sell. And they understand that there is a wide range of people that are fans. But for me, the impact it has on me is that, like, the deep appreciation, or like the Venn diagram of like you're a Snoopy fan, but you're also like a creator or an artist or some type of, you're like using your own craft and my favorite character and like bringing your own interpretation to it. And I just find that to be so cool and so special. And I find it interesting that like there are so many people doing this when you actually start to look at it. I think that recently we've seen like maybe a trend of Garfield having a similar representation. And like, that's cute. And I love that Garfield is not my character. But like the everlasting passion that people share around this dog, whose like 75th birthday it was last month, it's very heartwarming and whimsical in a world that's like, if you look in any direction, lacks those things.
The Tumblr and this new Snoopy bootleg project, are those your ways of sharing your love of Snoopy with the world?
Yeah, those are kind of like my maybe contribution into this niche world of like Snoopy remixes.
And how is the Snoopy fan community taking that?
You know, I've made a lot of friends through it. Not a lot of friends, but I've made some internet friends through it. And then I'm also just like seeing the impact that it's had on fans who like You know, I'm a Smiths fan. I'm not a Morrissey fan. I'm a Snoopy fan. I'm not necessarily the Peanuts fan. And the Tumblr was so eye-opening to that Venn diagram, too. Like, a person tattooed one of them on their body, like, back in 2013. It was actually Lucy. And the speech bubble said, "Now I know how Joan of Arc felt." And then I had a friend back then that was living in Seoul, Korea, teaching English. And she was walking through the train station one day, and at one of the little like kiosks, there was a sweatshirt for sale with one of my images screen printed on it that said, that had all of the characters kind of marching in a line with speech bubbles over maybe five of them. And it just said like, "Hang the DJ, hang the DJ, hang the DJ." And I was like, just, I mean, this was like early days of social media and internet presence. And just to see that mark that it had across the world was like really fun. And so, I mean, I'm not active on Tumblr anymore. I don't know how many people really are, but many of those people, you know, found me on Twitter, found me on Instagram. They're still creating their own kind of Snoopy images. And it's just like nice to have that connection with strangers that have those same passions.
Which is a big reason we do what we do.
Exactly. It's all about human connection.
Speaking of human connection, Lauren, where can people find you?
You know, I'm active on Blue Sky, more or less. I mean, RIP Twitter. It was nice while it lasted. I'm Lauren Lepret on Blue Sky. You can also follow my new Instagram. It's Snoopy with a B underscore bootlegs. And, you know, I've been doing a lot of shit posting on LinkedIn. So if that's your jam too, I'm Lauren Lepret on LinkedIn.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us today.
For sure. Thanks for having me, Guy.
This is all for this episode of Design Downtime. Thank you for joining me. And until next time, I hope you enjoy your downtime.